Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today I'm joined by Brian Berge. Brian, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, Grayson?
Good. And Brian is joining us today to share his testimony. And I should say, Brian is the husband of our worship pastor, Pastor Jeanette, who she shared her testimony back in August of 2023 when y'all first moved here to the Valley from Pennsylvania. So just a little bit of backstory, and Brian's a huge part of our worship team also. Brian, just start out telling us where you're from and a little bit about how you grew up.
I was born and raised in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, which is actually the area that we came here from. I attended Crossroads Church of the Nazarene for pretty much when I was born. My grandmother was the secretary there for about 30 years or so, and so I kind of grew up in that church, but I was a Pennsylvania guy up until about 9 months ago.
So what was it like growing up in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and growing up in the Nazarene Church there?
It was good. I enjoyed the area. The area had some aspects of rural culture. It had some college life culture. It had stuff if you drove 30 to 60 minutes away, you could get to some, you know, shopping area stuff. So as far as environment, it was a real nice area to grow up in. And, you know, I really did enjoy the church. That's when we moved back after college. That was one thing we kind of wanted to settle down in a church. And we just felt led to go back to Crossroads. So
you mentioned you grew up in the church your whole life, it sounds like. But often Pastor Margaret and I talk about, you know, when you initially go to church because you go with your parents. And that's just, you know, if you grew up in a Christian home, that's what you do. But do you remember at what point maybe that you made that decision personally for yourself, like that you wanted to be the one to have a personal relationship with Christ?
Yeah, I think that that occurred once we got out of college and we had our first daughter, Haley, and I got married. And when we moved back, we decided that we wanted to kind of find roots in a church somewhere. And prior to that, you know, I was, of course, a kid and a teenager and, you know, was brought to church because mom and dad, you know, brought us there. And I think it wasn't till after college when we really kind of honed in on developing that relationship. You know, I did give my life to Christ early on. However, you know, through my teenage years, I went through some stuff where I lost my dad and to cancer and stepped away from Christ a little bit and through college wasn't walking hand in hand with him. But when kind of rededicated and recommitted my life to him. And once we got married and we wanted to raise our family in the church. So when we moved back, that's where we kind of, again, planted roots and really took our faith seriously.
You mentioned that you lost your dad when you were a teenager. I can't imagine that. My dad's still living, I'm fortunate. But just share anything that you would feel comfortable or willing to share about that and how that affected you and just, yeah.
Sure. My dad developed cancer when he was, I was about 12 and a half, something like that. And he fought it for about three and a half years. And he did pass when I was 15, which was a real tough time because at that point, you know, you're just getting ready to start driving. You're starting to kind of develop those skills that you would have to be called a man. But it took me a little bit to kind of come through and see what God's hand was in that. You know, my dad wasn't a Christian when we were growing up. He kind of went to church just to basically shut my mom up. And when he got cancer, he actually gave his heart to Christ and started to develop a relationship with Christ. And it took me years later following his death that I realized that it wasn't cancer that killed him. It was actually cancer that saved him, because now he is sitting next to the father waiting for everyone else to come home. So it was a, although I'd miss him every day and would love to have him with me, I'm glad that I can be with him eternally.
Right.
That's
a great perspective. You said cancer didn't kill him, but it saved him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it might have ended his earthly life, but like you said, in eternity, you'll be able to spend eternity with him. And so I think of something I've heard my dad say before. Sometimes God uses things he hates to accomplish things he loves.
Exactly.
Your family hated losing him here on earth, but you'll get to spend eternity in heaven with him one day. And so that's a thing to love and look forward to.
Yeah. And, I didn't come to that realization overnight. It took me years of, thinking and wondering and questioning, why would God take a husband from a wife and a father from two boys? And, but again, I go back and think God has his hand in everything, and God has a plan for everything. And had it not been for the cancer, I don't know if my dad would have gotten saved. He was kind of doing his own thing anyway, so I don't know if he would have made that decision. But I think that was God's way of kind of getting his perspectives in order and making him, come to the realization that he needs him. So as much as I miss him and every day think about him, I'm glad that I can strive. And it's something that gives me kind of a little bit of a yearning now to live my life better so that I can meet with him someday.
Just anything else about that before we continue that you would like to share, maybe I haven't asked you or that you haven't shared? Kind of that struggle you talked about, you didn't come to the realization overnight that cancer saved him instead of killing him.
Yeah, I mean, you hear oftentimes people that go through a tragedy and they develop the either, I'm angry at God situation. And I can't say I necessarily ever got angry with him, but I often questioned him. And I think that, biblically we're supposed to, we need to question things because it's in the questioning that we can learn. And I look at the situation, I see God's hand in it as well, because I've experienced, throughout my time working with like youth ministries and stuff like that, kids that have gone through tragedies where they've lost a parent. And although my situation may not have been exactly like theirs, I could speak into that a little bit and show and give them my perspective on how I was able to get through that and come out of it even with a stronger relationship with Christ. We wonder why bad things happen to good people. And, sometimes, and again, it's biblical, God wants to be glorified and honored, and it allows him to be exalted through it.
Right. Pastor Margaret's not able to join us today, but often she asks people, about difficult times they've gone through. Would you want to be the person you were before that thing happened, as opposed to the person after, kind of what you learned through that? And like you said, maybe that was more to save your dad's life, but maybe, has equally impacted your walk with him.
Yeah. I mean, I had a patient one time at my clinic ask me, he was an atheist, and we got into talking about some things, and he asked me the question about if I would rather be who I am now or if I regretted anything growing up. And, I had to stop and think about that for a little bit, because, the easy answer would be to say, yes, I'd much rather be how I am now back then, because I would have been a better person. But I think when you go through stuff, you learn, and in the learning, you become a stronger person as a result. And if we never experience any tragedy, or if we never experience anything that we struggle with, we don't realize we have the reliance on God that we need. So I can't say I would have changed anything in that. I wish I would have treated people better, back then, of course. But I can't say I would necessarily have wanted to trade anything, because it's all a learning process.
Right. And another thing to point out, I'm definitely not saying, and you're not saying, that that situation was easy by any means. And mm-hmm. Like you said, you still miss him. But, you know, if you want to speak into...
Yeah, you know, it definitely was a struggle. It definitely was something that really affected our family. And, you know, to this day, I will still tear up if I start talking about him, or if I, you know, see something that reminds me of him, or something where... You know, maybe now I'm working with my girls, or something that I'm doing with my kids and my family, and I reflect back on, you know, my dad not being here to see that. But it's, you know, you look at those little bit of pain and a little bit of suffering you go through, but the eternal result is going to be so much better. So
now you mentioned that you went away to college. If you want to share about that, and I think you met somebody while you were in college.
Yep. Yeah. When I graduated high school, I went to Elizabethtown College, and I met my wife there. We got married in between me going to undergrad to my grad school, where I worked out to get my doctorate in physical therapy. And, you know, there was a time that I can't say I was walking hand in hand with God. I was always those inherent principles that you learn in church, I always applied, but I can't say I was in right relationship at that time. And it really wasn't until we got married and then had our first daughter that we kind of looked at our relationships and said, hey, we really need to buckle down on this and get back. So
right. And as you were talking about after you had your first daughter, Haley, it wasn't really until then. I think I remember Pastor Jeanette saying this when she shared her testimony. She said, I always say my first daughter, Haley, saved me, and my second daughter, Emily, sanctified me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it was, you know, you when you have kids, you definitely want to be able to be an example for them. And I couldn't see how we could be an example and raise them in ways that we weren't living. So, right. Yeah.
And so what was it, you know, you mentioned you grew up in the Crossroads Church, and you all, even after you got married from Elizabethtown, y'all moved back to Crossroads, if I'm not mistaken. And so talk about being there now as a married man with a family, as opposed to, you know, you grew up in the church, but now you're there. And also anything you want to share about working in physical therapy and how God used you in that field.
Yeah, when we got married, I then went to grad school for 3 years, and we were living in Reading at the time. And once I graduated from there, we moved back to the Lewisburg area. And so we started attending Crossroads and started getting involved in the church on a little more involved level. We started playing in the worship teams, and I got involved with the youth ministries. And it was great to kind of go from the perspective of the person who was just attending and who was the teenager growing up in the church to now the person that was helping to speak into the lives of those youth. And, you know, being a person that was involved in the worship team, seeing the worship develop, also got involved in the church board. I was on the church board for about 10 to 15 years. So, you know, getting involved in that end was kind of unique as well, because my grandfather, who was really a pillar of that church for many years, was part of them coming to where their location was now. He was kind of my role model of what a godly man should be. And once he got to the point where his health wasn't enough to allow him to attend church regularly, and eventually he passed as well, it was a way that I could kind of take the torch and help step into his shoes, which are some really big shoes to fill. So it was a unique experience there at Crossroads.
Whatever you would, I mentioned, and you mentioned that you studied, got your doctorate in physical therapy, and just any stories about how God has used you. You shared the story about the conversation with the atheist, just anything in it, generically, obviously, but that you would want to share.
Yeah, I've had a bunch of opportunities to just speak into people's lives. I mean, we work obviously on the physical nature of things with physical therapy, but just being, you know, a Christian, and I would have Christian music playing in the background, and, you know, people that came in, they knew that this is what I did. This is the church I went to. This was the worship team I was involved in. So we weren't shy about that. And I've had many people thank me actually for playing Christian music and just bringing a different light to their day. So, you know, we've been able, I've been able to talk with people that have been struggling with depression, with, you know, losing a loved one, just even just the negative mental stuff that they go through when they have a physical disability. So it's been a good experience there.
And I mentioned at the beginning that Pastor Jeanette is our worship pastor, and she was a worship pastor at Crossroads also. And and you mentioned being involved with youth, but you were also involved in worship ministry. So if you want to talk about how God used you all to use your talents and skills, I know you play guitar, and just how God used that passion and ability to minister to people also.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been involved with music. I started playing viola when I was in fourth grade, and I picked up alto sax in fifth grade and kind of played those throughout high school, and started to play guitar in ninth grade, and was able to pick it up fairly easily, and didn't get to do anything into worship ministries until we got out of school and kind of got back to church. But I really enjoyed taking my passion of music and using that in the worship ministry and trying to take it to a level where I feel that sometimes in worship ministry, it lacks. I'm a big 90s, you know, alternative grunge kind of guy. So I wanted to take the passion that is put into that music and put it into music that's going to glorify God. So I always say I like to bring Pearl Jam to the church.
That's good. Yeah. Brian, so you mentioned, and we mentioned at the beginning, that you had lived in Crossroads up until 9 months ago. So if you want to share a little bit about what brought your family, I mentioned a little bit about Pastor Jeanette being our worship pastor, and she shared her testimony back in August of 2023. But if you just want to share from your perspective that transition and that call of God on not just Pastor Jeanette, but on your whole family.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a difficult decision because we had such great roots in Crossroads and the Lewisburg area. The spring of 2023, our pastor, Steve Vaughn, was retiring, which he told us, and we were very close with the Vaughns and, loved them dearly. And, it kind of rocked our world a little bit. And, when Steve told us he was going to retire, he mentioned to Pastor Kerry, who is another great man, about his retirement, and Kerry brought up the, thought of Jeanette for the worship leader position down here in Harrisonburg. And when it first was presented, it was kind of, I could never really see myself leaving the area. That's the area I was born and raised in. That's the church that I grew up in. That's the church my grandfather helped establish. But one thing that really kind of spoke to us and in finding this decision was Pastor Kerry, in terms of talking about obedience. He said, you can sum up the Bible in one word, and it's just pure obedience. And so when we were deciding this or making this decision, my one question to my wife was, you know, do you feel called to come down to Harrisonburg? And if you do, then we need to investigate it. And as we investigated it, we decided to make the decision to come down because that's where we felt God was bringing us to. And when we'd made that decision, I didn't have a job. We didn't have a place to live. We didn't have our house sold. My daughter didn't have a place to go to school. So on paper, it made no sense at all. But we were just trying to be obedient to what we felt God was calling us to. And that's something that I don't think I've ever been challenged before in terms of trying to put my 100% obedience and faith into what God's plan is. But it has been such a learning experience for both of us. And it's something that has been a great experience as well, because we could just see God's hand show up. And it wasn't that that God provided everything all at once. It was little steps that we'd have to go through. And but he did provide in the end for everything. So it was a great eye-opening kind of experience to walk through just being obedient to what God's called you to do.
And, you know, talk about, you're still working in physical therapy here, and you're still involved in worship ministries here. And just talk about, even in the short time that y'all have been here, it's been, I would say, palpable. And the worship services have just been, it's been wonderful. And just share what you've got out of either how God used you in your job or how he's used you here through worship or any other areas? I know y'all are in a life group, so anything you would want to share?
Yeah, I mean, coming down here, we had a great worship team at Crossroads. We were real, real close with our band members. And so that was one thing that we were kind of really questioning is, you know, what's it going to be like when we come down? Same thing with my job. I was at a great clinic. I had a well-established practice. So coming down again, that's that big question of what's it going to be like. But I tell you what, you know, we got a great group down here. The band that we play with down here and help lead, they're just servants. And that is huge. It's made the transition very easy to step into and kind of pick up the reins and run. And they've done a great job with Jeanette's direction and just really serving. I mean, anything you ask them to do, they're willing to do. And it's really been a great experience. And even in my clinic, I've got a great clinic I'm working at with a great Christian guy. And we've got a great team out there at Bridgewater for Sentara. So, you know, again, it's just ways that God provides in the uncertainty. And we're so thankful for that.
Well, thank you both for being willing to walk through the open doors that God called you in obedience, even though it was leaving what was familiar and comfortable, mm-hmm. and coming to a place. I would say you were describing Lewisburg, and it sounds a lot like Harrisonburg, rural and also close to things and an hour from other things. And
yeah, it very, very much is like a lot like Lewisburg, except Lewisburg does not have Krispy Kreme.
So it's better in Harrisonburg, exactly. You're yep. saying. Yep. So yeah, I always joke because there's some people on staff here who prefer Dunkin' over Krispy Kreme. And I'm like, they don't know what they're missing. And even people north can appreciate Krispy Kreme donuts.
Exactly. So, yep.
Brian, thank you for joining me today. You know, we have a few more minutes here. Just, you know, we call this program Hope Talks. So what in your life right now brings you the most hope?
I would say that just looking at how God provided for us, especially recently, where we couldn't say we had any hand in it. It was purely just us walking in faith and looking and seeing his provision. I think that brings me hope because when we can loosen the grips of our life a little bit and allow him to run it, it's amazing to see what he can do for you. Even in situations that, like I said, on paper, just don't make any sense at all. You know, when we try to run our own life and try to work things out, we often don't get the best results because it's not the master's hand at it. It's our faulty hands in it. So I think that to me is, like I said, this has been a great eye-opening experience. Even for someone who's grew up in the church was to be challenged in that obedience and walk in faith.
Yeah, obedience is huge. I know when you were talking about you all praying about leaving Lewisburg and coming here, I was thinking a lot about my dad's transition out of here to mm-hmm. the Philadelphia district. And when he got that phone call from one of the general superintendents, he was on a drive down to Alabama to Pastor Jim's dad's funeral, and the Lord was really working on him. He had just gone through kidney stones not long before that, and he thought he might be dying, and he was like, I'm willing to die for you. And the Lord was like, okay, Kerry, you're willing to die for me. Is there anything you're not willing to do? And then he gets this phone call, mm-hmm. and he tells the general, he said, I don't know what I would have told you at any other time, but I'm willing to walk through the doors as long as they're open.
Yeah.
And obviously, if he wouldn't have been called away to there, y'all would have never been called here. So,
yeah, I mean, again, I think God's got his hand in everything. So, you know, it's great to see him work.
Yeah, it's just the power of obedience, I think, when people are willing to obey. You know, even if we don't understand, I help with the teens, and at the time of this recording, the night before this, the previous Sunday night, one of the seniors shared, and she shared John 13:7. John 13:7 says, Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And that's what I think about obedience is we might not understand what God is calling us to do or asking us to do, but we need to walk in faith, walk by faith and not by sight, and know that at some point, even though we might not understand right now, at some point we will understand why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, I think sometimes we make the mistake of praying to understand God's will, and we don't right. have to understand it. We just have to obey it. Kind of right. like a parent that tells their kid to do something. The kid might not understand why the parent wants them to do that, but the kid just needs to obey and just needs to do it because it's going to be for their best intention. Because ultimately, the parent has the best interest for the kid.
Right. And when you were talking about either becoming God's will or doing God's will, that made me think of one time we had an evangelist, James Sproul, that came like 24 times. And almost every year that Dad was here, he came. And one night after a Wednesday night service, it was like the last night of the revival season that we had where multiple nights. Dad at the time was leading the college group. And so he invited the college kids to go to Applebee's with Reverend James Sproul. And there was a college student at JMU, a female student, that was really worried about doing God's will for her life, or what was God's will for her life. And Reverend James Sproul said this, and I'll never forget it. He asked the girl, he said, "Do you want God's will?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, if you want God's will and you're, you know, obeying him, then if his will for your life doesn't happen, it's not your fault, it's God's."
Yeah. Yeah, we just need to walk in it. We just have to be in the center of it. We don't have to quite understand it.
Right. Brian, just in the last few minutes that we have here, anything about your testimony or anything that he's spoken to you? Even I mentioned that you're in a life group. Anything that you want to share that I haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already that you would like to share?
Oh, I just, I'm a big advocate for not being the same person you were yesterday. And I look at that as, you know, on the worship team as a guitar player, or even as in my Christian walk. You know, I'm not a reader. I don't like to read, but I try to get in the Word every single day right. and come up with intentional plans and being intentional about my relationship with Christ. That was one thing that when I was teaching the Sunday school classes for the youth back at Crossroads, I came to the realization that I need to be more knowledgeable in the Bible if I'm going to teach people stuff that maybe I don't quite know. So I challenged myself to kind of grow in that. And I would challenge others to not be the same way you are tomorrow
right.
That you were yesterday. So continue to grow and continue to learn and shape your path and your walk with Christ.
I think of something Dad says often, being a green apple, so to speak, growing, learning. And also, you know, in our theology, talking about growing closer to God. I mentioned earlier that Pastor Jeanette said your first daughter, Haley, saved her second daughter, Emily, sanctify her. Well, that's sanctifying, is growing closer to God each yep. day, knowing that. I think of something my grandfather said on his deathbed when he was dying of cancer. He said, "God's still working on me to make me who I ought to be." And this was a man that was saved. But I know Dad said, even though he was saved and lived a Christian life, he said, "He taught me how to live, but he also taught me how to die."
Yeah, I remember being young and going to church camps with my grandparents when they used to have the camp in Maryland. And I asked my grandfather at the time, you know, "Why do we need to go to church all the time? Because you're old and you've been there a lot." And, you know, I come to the realization now as I go through and I do some Bible studying and I do like chronological Bible plans, even though I've done them multiple years in a row, every year that I do them, something new speaks to me. And had I not done it that year, I wouldn't have gotten that revelation. So, you know, we're always in a different place and God can speak to us in any of those right. places. So,
yeah. And it's amazing how, you know, I've grown up in the church, and when you hear different scriptures or different passages or different messages, certain times of the year, like Easter and Christmas and all those, how God can speak to you in new ways through yep. the same scripture, or the same word.
Yep, exactly.
So, Brian, thank you for joining me today on Hope Talks. I'm just going to say a prayer for you and Pastor Jeanette and your family in closing.
Sure, thank you.
Lord, I just thank you for today, and I thank you for this opportunity that I've got to hear Brian's testimony and what you've done in his life, what you're doing in his life, and what you're going to do in his life, Lord. And I pray a blessing over him and Pastor Jeanette and Haley and Emily and also his mom and grandma and the rest of his family, Lord. And I just pray for all those that will come in contact with Brian, because they'll also come in contact with you through him, whether it be at his job or in the church or around the community or wherever he's at, Lord. I just pray a blessing over him, and that he feels your presence in his life day by day. And I just thank you for his testimony. And I ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining me today, Brian, on Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
Well, thank you for having me, Grayson.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Brian Berge's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg, in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.